Just turn that fucking light on.
What?
That light.
Oh,
turn it on.
Turn it on.
Okay. Every other light in here is on except for that one. If Eric was here, he would have reminded us.
He would have.
I wish Eric. I wish Eric was here, so bad.
I say that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that makes it worse.
Oh, God damn it. Well, in case you couldn't tell, we're not live. I know
this isn't
live. You thought this was live, but you're wrong.
We could have edited this out easily.
But we're not going to.
But we're not
going to. Because we're raw.
It's not
real.
Sean still doesn't get how to operate that. Kevin gets it.
I get it.
You have to give it a minute to charge.
All right, Sean, you go work the camera, and we'll have Kevin go turn the light on.
Well, Kevin, you just give me the nod when you want to turn it on. And then
what?
Because you got to wait. It's got to charge up.
You have to wait, and then it gets a charge, and you pull it, and it turns on.
Yeah, I forgot about the charge.
I think this guy's going... Sorry. Sean's the kind of guy that when your computer freezes, he's hitting every key going...
I am. That's
when
true.
You know that just locks it up worse, you know? So
I definitely do that.
Yeah.
Bill Gates' worst enemy, right? Right here.
Yeah, he
Everyone use the hashtag Bill Gates' worst enemy and post a photo of Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
tweet at Bill Gates with a picture of Sean and say he's coming for you, Bill.
Yeah.
The reason why Steve Jobs took himself out of the game right here. So also use the hashtag Steve Jobs reason.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into why.
Tweet all that at Bill Gates. Let Bill Gates know that Sean is his arch enemy. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm not a mosquito.
Oh, he did the
theme song.
I got the dough, and I'll spend it on a whim, cause I got more cash than an ATM. Don't give me no check, all COD, I want the cold hard cash. Show me the money! I'm out the door, cause I'm getting a page. Put $100 in my wallet, just a spare change. Driving fast cars, and I'm wearing a tux. I'm calling up Bill Gates, cause he owes me $5. Bill Gates! He owes me $5. Bill Gates! He owes me $5. Bill Gates! $5, Bill Gates.
All right,
we're back. Right, song was White Lines by Grandmaster Flash.
It was Bill Gates by Bad Credit.
It was Bad Credit by Bill Gates.
My song was better.
So who won?
Wait, what's
who
the mosquito? Knows? I don't get that.
He did experiments, right?
He has the whole thing, like trying to get rid of mosquitoes altogether.
Oh, yeah.
That seems mean.
I thought he was an environmentalist.
He is. And mosquitoes are the leading cause of death. And thinking like... people. I mean, that's just it. So, what he's doing is trying to figure out a way to, like, infect mosquitoes, something that will, like, kill off future generations. And for one of his keynotes he did, he was talking about, like, mosquitoes ever. And then at the end of the thing, he opened up this huge case full of mosquitoes into the auditorium to show
them. I remember that.
What an
asshole.
That
was awesome.
But
what
an
asshole.
The mosquitoes that he released were, like, the males that couldn't do anything. But
Hold on. Just listening to your story, I realized Bill Gates is a threefold asshole. Because one, you're trying to annihilate a whole species of animals.
I'm with you, Bill. Get him out of here.
That's going to fuck up the biodiversity of the ecosystem.
Get him out.
The whole house of cards is going to come crumbling down.
Exactly.
That was your first fold.
Fuck him.
You asshole. Second fold, you spend a whole seminar making people scared of mosquitoes, spreading mass hysteria.
Yeah.
Unduly, okay?
As I remember, it was something like, you know, we talk about this here in this auditorium, and, you know, we're about the third world, but this could be anyone. It could be us.
Yeah, dick. And then third fold, after you got them at the height of their fear, you unleash the monster into the room?
Yeah. But, again, those mosquitoes were a certain type of mosquito that could never bite anyone or infect anyone.
Okay,
anything.
Yeah.
But it was still scary.
Yeah, you're talking to a room full of idiots, okay?
Yeah.
You just spend however many hours getting them all scared and hateful of mosquitoes, and then you throw it in their face.
Yeah.
That's fucking immature.
And number four image, the thing wrong with Bill Gates, the red ring.
Actually, that should be number... Hey, solve that problem first.
The
gamers
are coming to pasture, baby.
Look, I don't care about the mosquito. Who's dying from mosquitoes? Don't care. The world is overpopulated anyways.
Yeah, let them solve that. For us, I got an Xbox.
Exactly.
Who's solving that?
I'm tired of third world problems.
R-R-O-D.
You know, everybody jokes about first world problems, but nobody's solving them.
Yeah,
right. That's true.
Yeah, you don't want people complaining about first world problems.
Easier said than done.
We're also focused on the third world, if you think about it.
You know what? Shit rolls downhill.
Yeah.
Basically, hate to say it, but that's the way the world works. You got to solve the first world problems before you can solve the second world problems, and you got to solve the second world problems before you can even consider the third world problems.
This is a true... I might sound dumb here, so I'm ready for that, but What would a second? What's second world? What country is a second?
Who cares?
I'm so, you know, first world, third world. Where's the second one?
Look,
I don't know.
We live in the first world,
right?
I think I got it.
Okay.
We live in the first world. We're America. We're the best. We have Xbox. We got PlayStation.
Yeah.
We can watch porno freely. Yep. Boobies, wieners, nothing censored. Yep. We got guns.
Big tits.
We got big guns. We can do whatever we want. Big boobs, big guns, big wieners.
Yeah.
Everything we want. It's great.
Yeah. Okay.
When life rules on that level, that's first world.
First world.
The third world, obviously, is the opposite of that.
Everywhere else. Good.
You're poor. You got nothing.
You don't have water.
No Xbox. Water. No water.
That's
you don't
bad.
Even have water.
Bad news.
Yeah.
Your life sucks.
Have fun with that.
You don't even have a toilet. You have to, like, poop in your hand and throw it out the window.
Yeah, throw in the ocean.
What window?
Exactly. You may not even have a window, so you got shit-covered
walls.
You don't
have windows.
Your house smells. You basically, you live in a kitty box that nobody ever changes.
You're lame.
Oh, my God.
That's the third world.
Okay.
Places like... I don't even... Where... I live so far in the first world,
Canada.
I don't even know where you find the third world.
Canada, Europe.
I'm thinking it's somewhere in Africa, but
yeah.
For me, unconfirmed. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Africa, the third world
I
could be located.
I will not quote you on that.
Second world, obviously, middle ground.
Right.
Middle Earth.
Where you kind of take the best of both worlds and you bring them together.
Yeah.
You got Xbox.
That's the shit throwing.
You got PlayStation, but you're still like throwing shit out the window.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, your toilet doesn't necessarily work. You don't have plumbing locked down, but you do have a TV with Xbox, right? That's second world. And I know where you find that. Like Rocco said, Canada, Mexico.
Okay.
I'm even sure, honestly.
Minas Tirith.
No joke, parts of America. Probably second world.
Whoa. Yeah.
You know what? Not all of America's perfect.
Sometimes I have really bad Wi-Fi connection or like cellular.
But you know,
slipping into the second world.
To get real, to get honestly real for a second, there's parts of America that like doesn't have like really have like clean drinking water.
Yeah. Well, we all know that.
What?
Hey, there are parts of America
there's a bee on your hat.
That, oh, fuck. By the way, this is a great hat.
Good hat.
It's not for sale anymore.
Bummer.
Great promo.
We're
killing it in the promo department.
Yeah.
We got new hats available. So
this
check
is also
out.
A good hat.
That's right. I think our new snapback is on sale Friday, I believe.
Ooh, check that out.
We'll see.
I'll be wearing that one next week. But yeah, parts of America suck too. So, what world do you live in?
Email podcast.
Email at us. Let us know.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're emailing us saying you live in the third world, I got news for you, fucker. You're not.
Now, you're
at least 3.5 if you're on a computer.
If we get a physical letter from you, I might believe it.
Yeah.
Because maybe you found a way to get
if,
that
here. Like, if a letter shows up in our P.O. box and it's written on cowhide in blood, that's legit third world.
Then you definitely do. And how they watch the podcast.
Oh,
maybe I don't know.
A mule brings it.
I have no idea.
Yeah, they're pirating it.
Again, we're dumb, so I don't know. So, anyways,
we're not dumb. We're figuring it out as we go.
That's true.
We just learned something.
We just learned.
We just learned you something.
And honestly, my sympathy does go out to there are a lot of people in third world territories that endure a lot and go through a lot. But it's just kind of boring to talk about. Anyway, I've been checking the status of the new iPhone nonstop.
Yeah.
Apple had their keynote this
week.
And, I'm hoping my iPhone 7 shows up by Friday. If it doesn't show up by Friday, I'm going to fucking go ape shit.
Your shit.
You're gonna go,
which one did you get?
He's going to go ape shit like Harambe on a little kid.
Hey, I just heard about Harambe.
What is that?
We just heard about Harambe. Is that...
I did a Harambe skit on the last podcast. You pull your penis out on Harambe. So I did that.
Actually, we've known about Harambe. But we've noticed that it's like... Huffington Post posted an article saying it was the perfect meme.
Oh, wow, is it?
An animal had to die to create the perfect meme.
He sacrificed.
It was like
found the formula.
A sacrificial...
What?
Sacrifice.
What? Okay.
So, I don't know. Why did we bring this up?
I don't know. Because
the iPhone. Harambe's not going to have an iPhone.
Hey, did we ever mention, though, that how dumb the people in Cincinnati are for, like, getting all upset about...
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about
that. The biggest meme in the world was about the Cincinnati Zoo, and they were upset. Like, I know what the Cincinnati Zoo is now. Thanks to all of that shit.
Right.
Don't they realize that nobody gave a fuck about them before at all? If I was them, I would build the biggest Harambe statue and be like, hey, memorial to Harambe. Come take a selfie with our statue, post it online. If you want to get rid of a meme, buy into
it. You got to embrace it.
Oversaturate it. That's the way to kill it.
Yeah.
So they're dumb. Hey, Cincinnati Zoo, I'll run your Twitter from now on.
They shut down all their social media stuff.
They're so dumb.
But like, you really had the eyes of the world on you.
Yeah. That's, you know, and they could have used that in a positive way.
And this is a smaller scale, but when we do panels at Comic-Con, the people before us are always annoyed that their room is full with Mega 64 fans. Like, but you have an audience.
Yeah,
sell
you have an audience.
Shit to them.
Yeah, do something that engages them and you'll make new fans.
You know what?
You had the whole world.
You know what
at
that
them.
Is? It's the symptom of a control freak. Basically, somebody's like, hey, you have to say things the way I want you to say it. Oh, you're not fine. I'm leaving. I'm going to pack up all my toys.
I'm the social media director and I had a plan.
Yeah, and I'm packing up my social media.
When they tweeted out, please stop mentioning Harambe, that's like, what a dumb.
Close
you made
your
it worse.
Zoo.
You
close
made,
your zoo.
You
now,
made
I understand
worse.
They love Shut that up. Gorilla and they don't want to hear about it every day, but you got to make the most of it. And the train has already taken off from the station.
He's already dead.
Yeah.
So at this point, make a memorial to him.
You know what?
That gorilla probably sucked anyway.
No. Use this free idea for any other zoo out there that wants to capitalize in the way
and kill other animals.
Cincinnati Zoo failed. Seriously. Yeah. Sacrifice a gorilla. Do it.
Yeah.
Just imagine that for a second.
Okay.
Godfather, that shit.
You don't even need a reason, honestly. Yeah. Put a gun to a gorilla's head and pull the trigger and watch the memes roll in.
Yeah.
You will become the most famous zoo on earth.
Gotta get the memes rolling in.
Hey,
get the memes
rolling
in.
I don't know if
we
want to leave this part in or not, but I think we have a video idea. I think a guy tries to make the biggest meme.
San Diego Zoo.
Kills a gorilla.
San Diego Zoo, you're already famous enough, but what is the Trenton, New Jersey Zoo up to?
Yeah.
I don't know, because they haven't shot a gorilla yet. So go ahead, run with that, use that. I'm a marketing genius. I'm letting you use that for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so far.
Could be cool.
This has been a pretty good
great
podcast.
Good podcast.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's get back to the tech talk.
Oh,
enough
yeah.
Of this
Apple.
Sorry.
Enough,
brought
this,
it up.
Enough
Apple.
Of this Harambe shit.
I
enough of this.
Up.
Fuck that gorilla and it's rotting in hell. We're waiting this week on the two keynotes that happened this week. The big ones happened Tuesday. It was Apple went up first.
Versus.
The two tech titans. Apple versus Sony.
Oh my God. I
was telling the other guys, it's funny how I keep reading stuff that's like Apple versus Sony. They're not even in competing fields. However, when you do your keynotes back to back, it immediately, in my eyes, becomes versus.
Yeah, they have no crossover.
Like
one of them makes video games, the other one makes phones.
Yeah, and computers and whatever. But they, if your keynotes are back to back, I assume versus.
Right.
I assume like, oh, they're trying to, oh, who's going to outdo each other? Anyway, so Tuesday with all these keynotes, Apple and Sony.
Yeah.
Was the weirdest day ever for me because I went into that day excited because I like the products of both of those companies.
Sure.
I got a lot of Apple stuff and I love the PlayStation. But I went into that day excited, but I went into that day really amped up for like, yeah, they're going to announce a new PlayStation. I'm really curious to see what that does. And, you know, they kept saying it was 4K, a lot of 4K stuff. And I'm like, damn, is this going to be what pushes me into getting a 4K TV? I don't know. Like, I got excited at the possibilities. Like, what are they going to bring out?
What are they going to do?
And Apple, I was actually least excited about because it's like, yeah, you know, I pretty regularly update to the new iPhone. I mean, I honestly do it yearly. Let me just get this out of the way. I use my iPhone. I run that shit into the ground. I am constantly filming.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
filming, uploading.
That was never in the way.
Yeah,
but even just business wise, I'm doing email. I'm running that shit into the ground. I mean, if you see any of my videos, my transitions, I'm shoving it in.
Exactly. The world knows.
Yeah. So anyway, but I was least excited because the rumors about iPhone 7 weren't that exciting. It was kind of like, oh, it might not be that different. Who knows? I don't know. So it's kind of like, all right, well, I'll check that out, but I'm not that excited. But Sony, and I couldn't have left that day more the opposite. Apple comes out. Which, first of all, let me just say this.
Okay.
Apple gets shit all for right, something.
Let's get this out of the way.
Apple gets shit for something at every keynote.
Second thing to get out of the way.
Okay.
Apple gets shit for something at every keynote, and I think it's so funny. And I get it. I totally get it. But whenever they debut a new product, they always have this product video that is so fucking over the top.
Oh, it like, it sucks their own dick.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay, so we have a new black phone, and it is... I'm Johnny Ive.
How did we get a phone to be so black? First, we bathe it in a carbon rinse.
Yeah.
And then it undergoes a beautiful capillary effect to make the blackest black.
Sounds beautiful. Eyes of,
you will need LASIK surgery to see the color black in the way we have done. And it's showing it going through all this
like,
stuff.
It's like always liquid is jumping out of
it. But you know, a lot of people give him shit and take it at, you know, as like, these guys are so fucking full of themselves. And I get that. But man, I am equally cracking up at those videos. I don't think that like, no, there's nothing funny here. No, I think they're hysterical. But that, it makes me more excited during their panels than any, like, it works on me. Because it is bullshit.
Yeah.
But it's so, there's such an enthusiasm that I think even bullshit enthusiasm is more fun than, honestly, we get to the Sony keynote. And it was like this energyless, like, all right, so we got, this is the game
hey, in 4K. Apple knows that. I bet they have a whole team of philosophers and psychiatrists that are like, you need to make this the most appetizing marketing firm. That reminds me of when we went to the World of Coke.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I felt like I had gone to a brainwashing re-education center.
Totally, yeah.
But I didn't care. I loved it. I was like, well, Coke really is the greatest product of America.
But it was fun. I don't know.
It is. And, it is. It did kickstart the Coke world right now. Of marketing. Yeah. And I could live off Coke when I think about it. Like, they know what they're doing.
Absolutely. But anyway, I'm laughing at those videos, too. I think they're funny. But I honestly, even bullshit enthusiasm to me is better than no enthusiasm. And I will say, it's kind of like when you look at music. People will all, you know, it's like, why was rock music and metal so big in the 80s? It was big hair. It was, look, I'm the guy from Motley Crue. Look, it was such arrogance, but there's a degree of fun to be had in that. And, you know, I don't know. I enjoy it. I crack up at it. I think it's bullshit too, but I get such a kick out of that stuff. But anyway, that's besides the point. They showed new iPhone. It's got the big one. It's got two fucking cameras. Oh, you're switching lenses. You've got depth of field effects. You've got DSLR shit in your phone. 256 gigs. You got all this stuff. I was like, damn, this is cool. Okay, this is really cool. Now I'm psyched on this. Right. I really want this new phone. I was so excited. And yeah, like I said, when Sony's came up, it was kind of like no energy. Like, so this is a game, and this is now this is it in 4K. So. It looks a little bit better. You can see you can kind of see the trees look a little crisper there. And it was just kind of like it didn't really get me excited about PlayStation. You know, and they even showed new footage of they have a new in-house Spider-Man game being worked on. Like that Insomniac is working on, which is like almost like their answer to Arkham, Arkham games of Batman. Like this is a really big new game based on Spider-Man. That's really cool. But they didn't even have a cool trailer. It was just like, so yeah, this is a clip of the new Spider-Man. That's kind of cool, right? But look at the threads. Kind of see those. It's kind of neat. Anyway, it just didn't. I don't know. It was over in 40 minutes, and it was just like, honestly, I was ready for something that would like, wow, okay, they fucking sold me on a 4K TV and all the other stuff. And instead, they showed something that's kind of like, oh, okay, if you have all this gear, this is kind of cool too. You know, it didn't really go in a direction that was really super motivating. And and the fact that it doesn't play 4K Blu-rays. If you want to watch a 4K movie right now, you ain't streaming that. Like most people's internet is not going to do that. So like right now, there's always the argument of like physical media is over. That's of the past. Yeah, but that's not even really the argument here. If you want to watch a 4K movie right now, you it's need like 100 gigs, need it on something. Yeah, you're going to need it on.
You can't stream 100 gigs.
Yeah, so time. Like that's your option right now. So it just seemed weird. The whole thing was
it
not.
It makes no sense. I don't know. How it is. Not it doesn't have a Blu-ray player. The 4K Blu-ray player. It doesn't do a lot of things, and it's $100 more expensive than the Xbox One that is going to do all that stuff, right?
Yeah, the Xbox can play those. Yeah.
And whoa, it's $100 cheaper than
the
this
cheap.
One.
The cheap. New Xbox.
The tables have turned suddenly.
I feel
Xbox
like Sony,
is back.
Sony's like, we got so powerful, we got to suck it up a little bit and have Xbox take up the reins a little
bit.
Yeah,
I don't know. The king got too confident.
That's happened to Sony before, though.
And it's also happened to Microsoft. So, you know.
It goes back and forth.
Back and forth, I guess. But that was that's really weird, especially since Sony owns Blu-ray.
Yeah. And what I have heard, what some insiders are saying, is Sony's divisions are not as tightly knit as they used to be. So when PS3 came out, it was like, Sony, we're all together. What are we doing? Throwing Blu-ray. Yeah. HD. Yeah. Like, every division of Sony teamed up to make a killer box. And PS4, well, now the way things are now, they're a little more splintered. And what I understand is their home entertainment division was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If you include a 4K Blu-ray player, that's going to kill sales of our standalone 4K box that we're putting out. So, nah, better not do that. We're not going to let you do that.
Oh.
And it's like, okay.
All right, you just killed sales on PlayStation.
Yeah, and maybe one division doesn't care, but it's like, you guys are all in this together.
It's the one fucking company.
The format would be widely adopted by everybody more if every device had it.
I'm not gonna go buy a Sony 4K Blu-ray also, player. I'm not
make, standalone one.
All right, no. Here's what you do: make the PlayStation play 4K. People will buy that. Make less of the standalone player.
Yeah.
So all the old people who don't want a PlayStation can buy that. Yeah. My Everybody's dad happy.
Bought a PS3 for the Blu-ray player. Does not own one PS3 game.
Blu-ray player was a PS3.
Mine is too. Mine was.
The only time I ever saw people buy standalone ones, honestly, like my dad on Black Friday got like a $20 one to have in another room. When it was cheap.
So, you know? Sony, you fucked up. You're boring. You're dumb.
Infighting. What are you doing?
Yeah, enough boring talk. Let's talk something exciting.
Yeah.
Sean, will you please hand me that box over there?
This one?
That's right.
A lot of boxes.
This is going out this week.
It's out. It's all in the mail
it's
now.
It's in the mail. Check your local mail listings for the first edition of the Mega 64 Patreon bundle. This is the big box right here. This is the reward.
If you are tier 3.
For our tier 3 patrons. We just want to take a second, open this up, and explore it for just a few moments. We're not going to do this with every box. But you know what? This is the first one we've ever done.
Yeah, we're excited.
We're so excited. We worked so hard to put this together. Yeah. We want to show off a little bit of what's out there.
And sorry it's taking so long. Kevin and I have been working like crazy to get these out there. Tier 2 is still where we
worked
on.
Shouts out.
Yeah.
Kevin, Sean, they've been working so hard to pack these up, to send them out. We've actually all been working hard to put together all the stuff that you're going to find in here.
Want some scissors?
I'm going to rip it open. Check it out. Starting with this, sealed with the Mega 64 sticker. That's just for show.
Yeah, no one else has that.
We don't need to say that, but...
Well, you know, it does have that. We put the label right over that, so there's a label covering it.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry about that.
But you know what? Everybody will have their own. What are we calling this? The Retro, the Neon 64. That's included in the box.
Yep.
So take this sticker out. We've never done stickers before. We did like long ago in the past, but they weren't this nice. So now you could stick Mega 64 all over your school, all over your mom's car, all over your dad's car.
Dad would love it.
All over your frenemy's car. Let's start with what everybody's gonna get for tier 2. You already saw the 64 sticker. There's also this bad boy. Ooh.
Look at that.
The Marcus sticker. What's going on?
Oh, he's just trying to... There's one thing we didn't add in that, but it's also in these boxes.
Oh, okay. You get the sticker. You also get this, the beautiful tube. Now, this is what Tier 2 gets all by themselves.
Yeah.
Not that I need to go into all the details. I mean, you can check it out for yourself on the Patreon, but check this out, baby. Woo! We got...
This is one of my favorite things.
Here, you show off that. You show off that.
Should I go first?
No.
Let's show this off. Boom! Never before seen, never before done. Mega 64 is offering a quarterly calendar.
Yeah, why not?
September, October, November. It's all in there with all the important dates
listed.
It's got listed.
The best dates. And if you can see November, we do have Black Friday.
Black Friday's on there.
We got, what else we got? We got Bloody Sunday.
That's right. We've talked for weeks about how they should change the calendar and add the whole
rainbow
of death.
We could do it ourselves.
Now we're making our own calendar. So, exactly. You got... Great Thursday, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Bloody Sunday, Cyber Monday, Digital Tuesday, and Fucked Up Wednesday.
We got all of it.
Put these on their
officially
wall.
On the calendar.
Mark your birthday.
And then the other print that Tier 2 and 3 people get on our Patreon is, this is one of my favorite prints we've ever done.
Show that off.
This is concept artwork that you may remember from our God of War leak video. This is from, but it's actually colored and all painted up. by artist Daniel Dussault.
Explain what's going on. This is a busy picture. You guys explain. This is dissect the art.
Kratos in a level that will be in God of War 4.
Well, yeah.
Kratos confronting the President Obama and exposing him for who he truly is.
There's the Obama mask, the being lizard being. Off.
He's got the Illuminati symbol or some kind of symbol. Who knows what it is? But he is confronting him, and you've got various agents who you may recognize around him fighting a great war.
Yeah,
to
that's
keep
right.
peace amongst, you know.
This is the level where God of War exposes what's really going
exactly.
on.
So, yeah, again, Daniel Dussault did amazing art and color with this. I think it's one of our best posters we've ever done. So,
yeah,
really excited about that.
Cool.
So then, in every box, there's also two of these, right? These things that Kevin just gave you? The cards? Yes?
That's right, that's right. This is moving up in the ladder here. We're so proud of this. This is like a dream come true.
This is a dream come true.
Check this out, guys. We've never done this before.
For tier three.
We've never done this before. Mega 64 trading cards.
And they're shiny. They're metallic.
The very first edition. That's right. We got the metal brushing. These are like the rare Pokemon cards that glow in the dark. Yeah. Boom! The best characters of the Mega 64 series. Christopher Demon. Bayonetta. And the new Batman. That's right. With all their stats and bios printed on the back. Trading cards.
Yes.
Now, it's amazing.
I want to just say real quick. He did mention they're metallic, and I thought I'd explain how that happened. We put the cards in a metallic bath and achieve a capillary effect, providing an indigo tone reflective of the light and the topography of the human soul. Right. So film like a cool artsy video.
Yeah, I will not. Oh. But every box gets two of these. So
yeah,
you can trade among each other.
We're fuckers, basically. Yeah. We thought, we could give out all three cards to everybody. That would be nice. That actually probably would have been nice. I mean, you guys are supporting us.
Yeah.
Why didn't we do that? No. Well, I'll tell you why we didn't do it. Because the same way Disney wants to promote pin trading, and they're called trading cards after all. We only sent you two out of three. Maybe some of you even got doubles. Who knows? But when you meet up at Game Days or wherever Mega 64 fans congregate, all the patrons could show up with their cards and they could start trading with each other, trying to get the whole set. And I mean, we're so proud of these. The way they turned out freaking awesome.
Yeah, they really did turn out amazing.
Hey, it's pretty much a guarantee. More trading cards are on the way.
Yep.
So this is just the first release of what will be Series 1 of. Yeah. And watch out, Tops! And watch out, Flair, because we're coming for you, baby!
That's right.
Woo! But that's not all. We've got one more thing in this box. What's in Derek's box?
Under the sea.
It was under the sea. It was.
It's a little bit different. You know, I added vanilla ice style. It's a little bit different. Check this out. Exclusive for the patrons.
Oh, my God.
New Mega 64 hat design. The Monster Teeth hat. I mean, that's what we're tentatively calling it. We don't know what it's really called, but we'll go with
brand
that.
Brand new snapback.
Check that out.
Oh,
new snapback design. Designed by Daniel Dussault and Jason Cryer.
Oh, my God.
The men who have brought together all our Mega 64 designs.
Yeah.
And exclusive only to our patrons. And in fact, we already sent the boxes out. So if you didn't sign up, you ain't getting this one.
Yeah.
Sorry. But we're really happy for everybody who did get it.
Yep.
Wonderful day. We're super happy that we were able to get these
Hell
out.
Hell yeah.
And thank you for your support. We just want to share that with everybody. And that's all. Hey, we had a new video come out this week.
What?
Stickers.
What about them?
What about the stickers?
What about the stickers? We showed off the stickers.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Kevin.
Kevin is fucking this whole thing up.
The Retro 64 sticker and the Marcus Woosh sticker.
Yeah,
they're both in there.
We showed those. Oh, my God.
God.
Kevin, film yourself. And Sean, play some sad music, because what a sad man.
Look at how the show breaks down when the cameraman starts whispering. It's okay. The host on set.
Sad music and just put let down on the screen.
Okay.
Like kind of transparent.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just like he.
Okay.
All right. Now here, put your face back on camera. And put a box around his face and the subtitle in the doghouse.
Okay.
Because that's where he's going.
Okay.
All right, we're back.
We're back.
And we're back.
Hey, I wanted to say on the Patreon, go to patreon.com/mega64. And honestly, if you want to get obviously these have been sent out, but if you want to get our next package,
sign up.
Try to do it by the end of the month and then you know, stay with us. If you contribute for 3 months, you'll get an awesome package of stuff. So anyway,
check that out.
Do it.
Very cool. Very, very cool. We have sponsors. Besides a Patreon, we do have a sponsor. which would be Kickapoo Joy Juice. And I want to give a quick shout out to Kickapoo. Go to drinkkickapoo.com. You can check out their Twitter. They at drinkkickapoo. They will show you all their sodas, people drinking their sodas, where you can find their sodas. You can get them on Amazon. It's great. It's a great site.
Yeah, those guys are the best. I'm gonna have myself a swig of a Kickapoo.
Yeah, take a sip
right now and show you.
Take a sip.
Hold on a second. That's not a Kickapoo.
Ew! What the fuck?
What the fuck?
That tastes like shit. Oh, fuck, dude. Are you filming? This is a Kickapoo at all. It's fucking Lester's Fixins.
What the hell?
No.
Bacon soda with chocolate by Lester's Fixins?
Lester's Fixins.
Who the fuck is Lester?
Fuck.
Hey.
Lester sucks.
Lester.
We got bamboozled.
Hey, Lester, fuck you. If you're watching this, I was supposed to be drinking a refreshing Kickapoo Joy Juice. Look at this old fuck.
This old asshole put his own picture on his fucking soda?
Can you zoom in on that?
Get over yourself, you bald fucko.
Look at that ass wipe.
Look at this. Glass ass, son of a bitch.
I want everyone to tweet at Drink Kickapoo. We love you. You know, we love Kickapoo. Kickapoo's delicious. But include hashtag fuck Lester.
Yeah.
Because this guy is an asshole.
Tweet at Lester's Fixing and just straight up tweet at fuck you, Lester.
Yeah. Bacon soda with chocolate.
Fuck you, Lester.
Meat was not enough for the soda. You had to include chocolate.
Say fuck you, Lester. Say Lester, fuck off. Any combination of Lester and the word fuck, let them have it, okay?
Is it good?
It smells...
Because they ain't Kickapoo, so they ain't shit.
Oh, this tastes like someone put a donut and a piece of bacon in water, and that sat for a week, and you drank the water.
Wow.
Lester pissed in a bottle. That's what I think.
I smell this.
Ah, man. Ooh. Yeah.
Ew.
Notice how there's more...
The label doesn't even look nice.
No.
Is that bacon?
Hey, smell that, Derek.
Smell it.
It looks greasy.
Yeah. Notice there's more flies in here now? Yeah, that's Lester's ass.
It smells like, you know, they do
Lester had a colonic.
Knockoff pastries, like something like a chocolate Twinkie. That's what it smells like, not right. You know what? That smells like a stale Tootsie Roll. That's what that smells like.
Kinda. Someone pissed on a Tootsie Roll and fed it to you.
Somebody shoved a Tootsie Roll up their ass.
Lester's ass.
Came back out.
Lester's prostate is fucking leaking.
It was more than just a Tootsie Roll. It had become more in the process.
Lester. Jesus. Lester emptied his colonostomy bag.
All right, so fuck Lester, and check out Kickapoo. They're much better.
Yeah, much better. Anyway, get rid of that.
Yeah. Hey, we've been playing No, we had a video come out.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. That's the next announcement.
Yes.
We had a video come out this week. Did you see it? Our Playdate video. We debuted that at PAX last week. Good reaction from the audience.
Yes.
I haven't really checked out. How's it doing online?
People, I got a good response.
People agree.
Yeah.
People agree.
I got a good response. Our Playdate video, I think, resonated with a lot of people who have been burned day one by a lot of games. Not even because the game is maybe glitchy. It could be that. Or it could be that they haven't finished all the features. In the case of Street Fighter V, I was excited to play Street Fighter V. I'm the kind of person that likes playing an arcade mode.
Yeah.
Lester. Or a story mode? God, it smells like a horse's asshole.
God damn. Well, don't blame Lester.
No, that is that was Lester.
That's you.
I smelled great before.
No, that's you.
Jesus, it's like the Delmar Fair in my mouth. Anyway, all right. Street Fighter 5. I wanted to play arcade mode. I wanted to play story mode, stuff like that. And it wasn't there. And it fell
it's
off my radar.
There, right?
Yeah. Story mode is there now, but I think a true arcade mode is maybe still not. I don't know about
cool
that.
Cool game.
But anyway,
you know what?
Stuff like that.
Hey, for me, honestly, you could argue this falls into it or it doesn't fall into it, but No Man's Sky on PC. I don't have a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
They had a release date and then it came out. Didn't work for a number of people. They've been releasing patches for it. A lot of people are still disappointed. There's a day when the game is supposed to work. That's the day. That's the day it's supposed to work. That's it. And, you know, like, a lot of games, companies will give you excuses. Like, there's no way to test, you know, multiplayer if something doesn't
work.
Like Battlefield or, you know, those first-person shooters that were broken a few years ago. But I don't want to hear any excuses. As a consumer, I'm paying for the game.
Sure.
Just give me the fucking game. I don't want excuses.
Hey.
I don't want to pay $60 for you to explain to me why I shouldn't really be disappointed, even though I can't play the game.
Right. Someone talked about this online. I don't remember who I read this from. It was interesting. Someone brought up that we should stop having release dates for games, period. And then someone else chimed in that we didn't have release dates for games until the game that ruined it, go figure, Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic 2, really? They had Sonic Tuesday, which was like the day you could go get it. But prior to that, a lot of video games were released seasonally. Hey, this is going to be out in summer. And then it's like when it was ready in summer, it came out. Huh. And I'm wondering if we should get, I mean, I know marketing-wise it's not as easy to do, but I wonder if we should have it to where, oh shit, well, they're just trickling No Man's Sky out and people can kind of...
never happen ever in a million years.
I don't think so either.
That is the end of pre-orders and that is the end of money for doing nothing, and why would a video game company want to... I mean, I say it's money for doing nothing, but really, they're spending time developing the game, and having money coming in anticipation for the game helps facilitate the workers who are working on the game. There's a whole system built around it. Sadly. But the system is broken because the games are coming out, and they're not working.
Yeah.
Or there are features missing.
And it seems like it would benefit more to treat the game like an event rather than a release date thing. Like, you know, this summer they're going to start trickling out copies of this, or they're you know, I know this is fantasy, it's not whatever, but man, you know, I wish. It's like,
I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, because honestly, they do beta games that aren't even in alpha, but you can do a paid beta, so it's like they are trickling it out. You can play it, they're still developing it.
Right.
But then there's cases of companies that are like, all right, we're not going to continue working on this. This is how far it's going to be. And then it's like, okay, I bought a game expecting it to get to a certain point, and it's not there.
Right. Now, you just told me that Last Guardian was delayed.
It was just delayed.
In response to our video.
Yeah, probably.
Clearly, they saw our video.
What'd they say?
I mean, what happened over the past decade? I don't know. Did they said the game is done.
Okay.
There were bugs they were not happy with. Okay. And they said it would be better to delay it than have those be in the game.
They saw our video and they said we should have this on play date.
Honestly, what do you think is more disappointing? Having them say, it's not ready, or releasing the game and having it suck?
Oh, that sucks. Way more.
Yeah,
way
exactly.
More. I'm not against them delaying it. I get that.
Sure.
I was just curious why I didn't hear about this until right now. So I didn't know why.
They're doing the right thing.
I agree. They saw our video and said, we can't.
That's what
do
Nintendo
this.
Does. That's the Nintendo method, is they'll delay for 10, they'll delay until the cows come home. But honestly, and they don't get enough credit. Day one, Nintendo stuff works.
Yeah, it takes forever to load. It That's just, all.
Yeah, they got a slow system. But in general, their games work.
Did they say a new date for this?
December 7th. Which, hey, shout out Sony, because I know the real reason. You are inching closer and closer to my birthday. Thank you, Sony. I'm going to have the best birthday ever.
You know,
and don't listen to Eric, because Eric has been tweeting all day that it's never coming out. That's why he's not here. He's not fucking welcome.
Yeah.
The liar and the cheat, Eric Bedour. Hey, don't listen to him. The game will be out and you'll be playing it under your Christmas tree.
That's a rockabilly promise.
Yep.
That's the best kind of promise to get.
You're saying?
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I legitimately did.
Oh, man.
That's my life all the time.
And that wasn't even... I don't know why I forgot what I said.
Mm.
It's not like I was laughing
about
my ass off.
About Last Guardian?
I don't even remember.
About release dates, Nintendo.
It was something about play date, but it's all right.
Well, anyways, that video I think turned out...
I remember.
Go ahead.
These companies release their games, you know, like Assassin's Creed with all its glitches and bugs. And I feel like they're still kind of happy because it's like, well, the game sold well. Yeah. Even though it was broken and it had these bugs.
Yeah, they still pat themselves on the back.
They still pat themselves on the back and they're like... And they continue to forward the series by making the next one. But it's like, you release the broken game and then you move on to the next one. Why should us as the consumers support the next game? Can't we just anticipate that it's going to be broken?
Yeah.
And I feel like the time is now. I feel like our video is coming out at a time where people are waking up to this, what's really going on. And you're going to see...
tolerating it less.
You're going to see, I think, video game sales start going down if it's a series that has broken releases, you know?
Right.
Yeah, because, man, Batman has, like, struck out a couple times now, I think. I didn't play Arkham Origins, but I think that had issues that were never resolved, I believe.
Hmm.
And they instead put out new DLC.
Didn't
continue.
I remember Resident Evil Raccoon City came out, and that game was, not well put together.
Yeah.
Just fucking buggy and all kinds of shit. So when Resident Evil 6 came out, I didn't even bother. And
Yeah.
Didn't that flop?
Well,
that game sucked.
Yeah, too. It was buggy and shitty too.
Exactly. And it was a symptoms of the same thing that happened in the previous release, and so it was like, I don't trust you guys anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens with that.
With our video, we styled it, I'm sure a lot of you know, after like the 90s Killer Instinct commercials. People caught on to that, I think, pretty quickly.
Yeah, they
got what we were doing.
90s game commercial. Which,
if you see that commercial now, there's no way Nintendo would release that video today.
No.
That commercial today.
No.
Like, people swearing, being censored, and it's all wacky.
They had a real identity crisis in
this
the 90s.
Was a kids commercial?
Because they were losing to Genesis, because Genesis had an edgier tone, and they were losing. So it was like, well, us too. I did not think that was a becoming look for Nintendo. No. I really dislike Nintendo. Let me get this straight. I've always liked Nintendo. But I had a real dislike for how they carried themselves in that time period.
Can I
they
had say... That, oh, go ahead.
I just remember around the same time they had Yoshi's Island, one of my favorite platformers ever. Very adorable game. It looks like it's all made in crayon. One of my favorite games ever. And I remember the commercial for that was a fat guy eating so much. It was like, you're going to get so much in this game, you'll explode. And a fat guy keeps eating until his stomach explodes and there's like barf all over everyone in the restaurant. It was just like they were trying to be like edgy and disgusting. And it's like, Nintendo, this ain't you.
Okay, let me step in here because I actually have an opinion on this.
Okay.
I liked it at the time. And you said they were trying to be edgy in this, and I don't think they were trying. I think they actually were edgy. That's what the 90s was. I feel like when you look back at the 90s, you have to kind of look back at the 50s and 60s and see culture as like really wholesome and then slowly progressing to getting to a point where we went too far. And that was like the 90s. You know, it was like the 60s, 50s, Leave It to Beaver, and then you... In the 60s, you had the sexual revolution, and the 70s were real crazy, and then the 80s were real decadent, and then in the 90s, it was just kind of like all those kids who grew up in the 60s were now adults, and it was like rebellion from all that, and they really went like, I remember watching Louis Theroux, and he did this thing on, this is going to be crazy, and trigger warning, but it was about simulated rape porn, and how that was really big in the 90s. Came out in the 90s and was like a really hot market. And he talked about how there was this whole culture of super aggressive, edgy pornography that is not around anymore today because they were kind of just exploring it in the 90s. And I think everybody realized we've gone too far. Things have actually gotten more wholesome in the years since that decade. But back then when I was a kid, I loved Mortal Kombat. I loved Killer Instinct. Anything that was like fucking bloody and gory and over the top, like that's what the times were about.
Well, I guess I'm speaking for myself because that I will say, I hated all that stuff.
And I remember when I met you in high school, you weren't into that stuff. No. And I thought that was really weird of you. Like, you never liked Mortal Kombat.
No.
You didn't like super bloody, violent stuff.
No.
You were really into Japanese RPGs.
There was such a wholesome and like exciting, I don't know. Those RPGs were very like, you know what it was? Honestly, it was the experience. My whole family would get together and play through like Final Fantasy, like, and we would legitimately get into the story. And in Mario, I liked big, colorful stuff, and I didn't like the idea of games being just kind of dirty and bloody and stuff. I was never into that.
When you think back to the 90s, that was the height of games like Twisted Metal, where it's like, fucked up characters, and they're all trying to kill each other with their cars. And it's like, Twisted Metal as a series franchise does not fly today. People are just not into that level of edginess anymore.
Sure.
And I have to admit, I'm not into it either. But
it's cyclical.
But for whatever reason, changes. Yeah, there was a time when that was the thing. Like,
And I will say, too, what brought me out of that, because I used to play, if the game was, like, dark and dirty, I wouldn't play it. It'd be like, no, I want colorful. And that was why I liked Final Fantasy. And I remember Final Fantasy VI, or III, or whatever they called it when they brought it here, was kind of like an end-of-the-world story. And it was like, oh, it's like, cool kind of stuff, but, like, magic is dead. It was kind of a bleak game, purposely. And I was kind of like, oh, man, I really like that game, but it bummed me out a little bit. Final Fantasy VII came along, and that game, I mean, we all know, is dark, Midgar. You're the oppressive organization taking you down, and it was kind of violent, and there was profanity. And I remember rejecting that. When Final Fantasy VII came out, I was like, no, this is terrible. I don't want to play this. This is awful. They wrecked the series. But playing through that game, it had a story just as good as any other Final Fantasy game. And that's what made me realize, okay, if something's dark, It doesn't mean it's just gloomy with no good story.
But
it can be good, and realize, that got me into that.
Realize that game came out in 1997, so that's the effect. That's the height of everything we're talking about. Even Final Fantasy couldn't escape it. It's like we need to adapt to this edginess.
Sure, yeah.
And they've even come back since then.
Sure,
and I really feel like the only game that has carried on from that era, the only game that came out back then and was edgy like that and is still just as popular today is Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto, I remember... It's
still brutal in that way.
Grand Theft Auto was like 1996. I think Grand Theft Auto 2 was like 98 and Grand Theft Auto 3 was like 2001. And they still continue to this day. But that's because their technology, the open world thing, they kind of like...
Yeah, they're able to kind of side that with something else. Yeah. It's not just... Yeah.
It's a very ambitious open world game, which is still groundbreaking. Yeah. And they've even toned down their edginess a little by, you know, giving a story and real characters.
I know more people playing Grand Theft Auto 5 for a lot of a variety of things, it's rather than I used to know people like, look, you can make him have sex.
Yeah, run around and you could shoot this guy in the head for no reason.
Yeah, that was my least favorite like moment in games was when it was like play this because you can kill someone and fuck this, and it's like I really want to play something cute or has a fun story.
Postal come out, and it's like, I did this not guy's care angry, about that. And he's going to kill everyone, and they're innocent.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool.
And that's what surprised me so much when only a few years ago, Call of Duty did that airport thing.
Right.
That, to me, was like, have we not, like, grown up? Like, I know you want to show something shocking, but man, like, give me a story beat that gets me there. I don't need to like mow down.
Maybe those are old. You know what? Maybe those are old developers left over from that era.
I don't know. That seemed really like.
You know what? This dawned on me. Huh. Is that if you think of video games of like when they got super popular as like a person, like that time is like they're angsty teenagers.
Sure.
Like that, and now we're like slowly pushing into like, more adult.
Yeah.
Things. I just realized that. Yep. Look at that. Beautiful. Beautiful.
And now the new generation of games are coming out. Now think of video games as a person and they've had a baby, and the new generation is all of these indie games that are super simple. Like, they've regressed back to like, when the Nintendo was first made, it was just simple graphics. So
and now
let's go back
it's
to those
their
graphics.
Dad showing their kids what they used to play.
Hey,
yeah.
In all honesty, if you want an example of this to a T, look where God of War is going.
Yeah.
God of War was hyper... Now, I liked the God of War games because they had, to me, really exciting, fun gameplay. It wasn't so much the gore. Although they would have gory scenes that I thought were actually well-directed action-wise. But it wasn't the gore itself that made me play them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
However, the new God of War is... He is more... He's had an epiphany. He's more thoughtful. He's getting away from who he used to be. And he's training his son how to handle things.
Right,
and he doesn't want him to turn out how he does. And I remember Corey Barlog, who we know, good friend of ours, Corey Barlog, he was in Marcus's Corner. But he is directing the new one, and he talked about, he's like, I had a kid, and I had a whole new idea for this game. And it's like, that is literally that example, like, right there. It's like, you know, how different it is, you know?
We're so fucking smart.
Man, so basically, by our logic and our theorem here, games are going to suck for a long time. And in about 15 or 20 years, they're going to get fucking cool again.
When our kids finally grow up and move out of the house.
They're going to get fucking cool again.
Now we're going to go travel the world.
And then about 5-10 years after that, they're going to suck all over.
Uh-huh.
That's life.
I don't mind. But here's the thing. My opinion on all that whole kind of cycle.
Yeah.
I don't think either side of it is necessarily bad. It's a matter of overstaying its welcome. I like that we have some games coming out that show a sensitivity and a, you know, an emotion. I like that. But then it's going to be 6 years from now where every game is like that kind of like, I'm going to make you cry thing. And it's going to be like, can I just kill someone? Can I, you know, it like for me, it's like, I just get sick. Yeah. I don't want anything too long, that, you know? And so, cause I bounce between those things. And so, yeah, I don't know.
Hey, speaking of games, new games, old games, whatever, shouts out to our dear friend Jared Thorbaum from Cheap Ass Gamer. You guys were on his panel at PAX.
Yes.
We did a panel.
How was that? Was that fun?
That was fun.
It was a lot of fun, yeah.
What did you do?
Jared, like, can you be on my panel months ago? I was like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And then I realized that day, like, I have no idea what I'm doing on this panel. And then, like, what do I do? Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But I am worrying about it.
But, like, he sat on stage, and I sat there with him, and he basically was like, hey, if you have a question, ask me. And he was basically saying, like, I know how to get cheap games, and I can show you, but, you know, you probably don't know this, so if you have a question, you know, like, let me know. And so, like, I would, like, interrupt him, like, hey, I have a question about this. It was interesting. It was, actually, I did not know a lot of things that he was showing me, so it was cool.
What's the number one thing that you learned to get cheap-ass games?
Follow Cheap-Ass Gamer on Twitter.
Wow, yep. What a plug.
That's number one.
Hey, he came by our booth at PAX. He handed off a bunch of Steam codes,
yeah,
which are free games, which, to his credit, they don't get any cheaper than free.
That's true.
So he knows his stuff.
Yep.
I loaded up a code, downloaded a game called Always Sometimes Monster.
Yeah.
Always Sometimes Monsters, perhaps. Interesting game. Check it out. I'm going to recommend it. It is retro graphics. I'm pretty sure it was developed by two guys. It's weird. Honestly, I'm not even quite sure what I'm doing yet. But I think the best way to describe it is almost, for me, the best way I could describe it, is almost like a modern take on Leisure Suit Larry.
Really?
And if you ever liked Leisure Suit Larry...
You definitely did.
I definitely liked Leisure Suit Larry.
I didn't know about that. Wow.
Check this game out. You're a character. You're walking around a town. You're talking to people. You're collecting items. You're trying to figure out how the items work. You know, you're on a mission. I'm not quite sure what my mission is, but I think it's to find love. Just like Leisure Suit Larry. He was always trying to find love. In the beginning of the game, you're at a party, and they have this really interesting way of, like, a character comes in, and he's like, oh, I need to find a character. And then you need to walk around the party to talk to a character. Whoever you talk to, you take control of that character.
Huh.
They need to find, like, oh, where's my friend? And you talk to them. And that's actually the character selection process.
Oh, wow.
And then for the rest of the game, it's those two characters from that party that the story is about. And I think it's about how those people are in love, and then, you know, they separate for whatever reason, and you have to go track them down. I'm still early on in the game.
Right.
And it's pretty complex. You know, I'm going around talking to a lot of people. It's a lot of decision-making, and your decisions affect the outcome. That's the basis of it. Check it out. Always Sometimes Monsters. I got that through Jared from Cheap Ass Gamer at our weekend at PAX. That's all I wanted to say.
Cool.
About that.
In terms of games, there's been a lot on the way. So I've been kind of like getting ready, clearing the, you know, clearing the
Guardian
plate for all these games. And they keep, it's like, oh, Final Fantasy is not coming. Oh, that's delayed. Okay. Well, Last Guardian. Oh, that's delayed. Okay. You know, so, I've been kind of just in the meantime, just playing, not really anything new. Just these, some of these remasters that have come out, Resident Evil 4 and 5. 5 came out first. So I'm clearing through that. I'm kind of like pushing my way through that. Almost done, maybe.
Yeah.
Five. And then I'm going to play 4. You know, I've never played through Resident Evil 4, so I'm excited.
Yeah, first time.
JK. Probably the 90th time. Maybe not a joke. So I'll play that. Dead Rising, I think, comes out today. Mm. OG Dead Rising.
I don't want that game is fine. I want that demo back. That's all I needed was that demo that they released.
Well, Dead Rising 4 is coming out by the end of the year. And it is, you're that character. You're at the mall. It's Christmas now.
Oh.
And supposedly the time limit is done, is
oh,
out of the game.
Oh, that's what ruined it.
Well, here, but, you know, people have been asking me about this, and I don't know how to answer. Dead Rising, they have removed the time limit, and supposedly you don't have to escort people you rescue anymore. And I thought there was another thing, too. And people have been asking me, like, are you excited now that those things are gone? Because those annoyed you, right? And I was like, yeah, they did. At the same time, those are kind of the defining things of that game. You know, it's like, it's a tough line to walk because I hate time limits. So, yeah, I am happy about that. But at the same time, you don't want to homogenize the game. It's
tough. Can't stay silent on this anymore. Dead Rising sucks. Dead Rising sucks. It is a...
Dead Rising is sucks.
It is sucks. It is a simple concept that is made needlessly complicated to provide the illusion of a game. Dead Rising was, what if you had a game that had a shit ton of zombies and you just had to deal with a horde, which at the time was a novel idea.
Right.
But even when they developed it, they realized, wow, this isn't really fun. How do we complicate this? Have them escort people. Have time limits.
Right.
Yeah, that adds a degree of difficulty to this novel game system. Okay, games have come out now. Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead 2, zombie mode.
Those
on
don't really
first
play
shooter.
The same, though. They're
they
not
don't,
really the
but
same.
The idea of, like, a big open world with a lot of NPCs, even Grand Theft Auto has a lot of NPCs, even Red Dead Redemption, Zombie Nightmare Edition, whatever, had a lot of NPCs, big open world full of zombies. They did the Dead Rising concept better than Dead Rising. And so now, when you go back to Dead Rising, you're left with kind of a minimalist you know, environment. It's like, yeah, open world zombies. A lot of other games have done this better. This time limit is shitty. Escorting right. people is shitty. You realize there isn't much of a game here left.
Right.
And there we go. I had to say it.
That's fine.
I've always wanted to love Dead Rising, and yeah. I never could.
I really believe the best thing they released was that demo. Because I wanted to get a 360 at the time, because I didn't have one at the time, for that demo. I had so much fun playing that. And then when the game came out, I was like, I didn't feel it the same way as I did just that one little level. That's
there,
all I needed.
There, it was, but it was exactly what you said. It was the first one was needlessly complicated. It came at a time where I would have been really happy just doing my own thing and kind of going wherever. And there was a lot of things. You know, anytime I went outside, those convicts were like in their car trying to murder
me.
Yeah,
and
like,
yeah. Every time you go to the food court, there's some other guy there.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, all right, chill. However, I still had a lot of good times with that first one. What you had to do, honestly, it was less about the destination and more
journey?
About like, yeah, you could get to a level in it. And what I did was I got to a level in it where I had so many power-ups and things that I could, I didn't have to worry about that shit. Mm. But the only thing is it took a long time to get there. I would earn all this stuff. By the time I was towards the end, I had a fucking Mega Man gun and I had all this stuff where the hassles of the game were no longer my problem.
Right.
And so then that game was fun. I'm getting the remaster of the first one is so cheap. I don't really care about two or three, but the remaster of the first one is so cheap. I'm gonna check it out again, maybe do some streams with it, but yeah. I don't know if I'm gonna get to that point again, you know. So
I always want to get into it. I do like games where they're tough at first, but as you get better, the game gets easier.
Yeah.
I've tried like two or three times to get into Dead Rising, and I just feel like I can't get over that hump. Not of sure. Like, I beat a boss, I beat a second boss, I beat a third boss, but they're all pains in the ass, and it never gets easier.
Mm-hmm.
I just never get
it does,
to that.
It does get easier in the first one, but it just takes a lot of weird work.
I never got to that point.
Yeah.
What are we at in time? Kevin, do you know?
We're good.
Yeah, like 90 minutes. We're good.
Hey, so anyway, so I'm getting those out of the way and whenever the new games show up, but I wasn't going to play Tomb Raider in October cuz they're finally putting the new Tomb Raider on PS4.
Right.
It was only on Xbox before and I never got it. But they were putting it on PS4 finally in the middle of all these huge games coming out and it's like, well, I'm not playing Tomb Raider now. Well, now that everything's delayed, I will check that out. So, anyway, we'll see how that is.
And when does PlayStation VR come out? October?
Actually, maybe the same day. Wasn't it like October 13th or something like that?
Huh.
So maybe I won't play Tomb Raider.
Maybe you won't.
Wasn't there a thing getting back to Dead Rising? Couldn't you not save like whenever you wanted? You had to find a bathroom.
You could save whenever you wanted, but you had to get to a bathroom.
Yeah. Just remember there's a point where it's like,
well, you thought whenever you want then.
If you die and it's a shitty situation and you keep respawning in that shitty situation, it's one of those games where you're like, all right, well, fuck this.
Yeah, it was the difficulty of it was getting to the save point. But that was something that never bothered me in that game. Autosave I like generally in games, but I actually thought part of the challenge of the first Dead Rising was you really had to plan it like you were really there. It was like, okay, I gotta go run and get this thing. All right, bathroom's right here. If I keep some supplies right nearby, I can make it back to the bathroom. I don't know. That added to the challenge to me. I didn't mind the save thing.
That
I thought that aspect was fun. It was that there were some
people
you had to escort that were like, I'm not even interested.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we got something from the PO box. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, open up the PO box.
There's a couple things I do want to talk about.
Oh, fuck.
Before we get to that, I wanted to say, hey, everybody out there, if you had any hesitations or, speaking of games and us.
Right.
If you had any hesitations or ruminations or illuminations about Mega 64 Game Days, our event that we're throwing November 5th and 6th in Anaheim. Day one, we have a big event, panels, screenings, hanging out. We got all kinds of stuff. It's like a mini convention.
Special guests. Expo booths. Selling sweet, sweet stuff for your room.
Exactly. That's day one. And day two, we all go to Disneyland. If that event appeals to you at all, I'm telling you, get your tickets to the day one event right now.
Go on our website.
Go to mega64.com/gamedays. Or you can go on our online store. The tickets are on sale there. Get a ticket. We are down to the last bit of tickets for day one. We haven't announced the guests yet. And once we announce the guests, That always surges. I'm telling you, act on it now. Just get your tickets now. Don't wait until the guests are announced. I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't. Honestly, we could probably announce the guests by next week. So don't wait till that. Don't wait till that. Yeah,
because when we announce the guests, the tickets are going to go like that. And you might not have a chance to get one. So get one now before you get all jealous and upset. Exactly. Just walk it in.
It can't be said enough. And actually, Kevin tweeted something the other day that I thought was well worded. He said, you can't – what was it that you said, Kevin? Like
– if you're on the fence about going to game days, go. Trust me, you'll never know how much it will change your life.
How much it will change your life. And that's true. People have – there are friends made that have lasted for years. There are – I mean, but even if you're not looking for that, even if you don't want that, I don't want friends. Great. You'll still go and have fun with some of the greatest people. It's an awesome weekend.
Plus, you get to go to Disneyland with Disneyland pimps.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. We're all there.
The special the Mega 64 tour. Whoops. I mean,
God damn it.
You spilled this fucking
soda.
Lester's fucking fixes.
Do we have publicized stink? Like
people may not know this.
Ass
all right, juice. It's bad soda. People may not realize, at game days, we've done this for years. This is kind of on the DL, but we've given out like maps of Disneyland, and we've annotated all the special spots at Mega 64. We go to Disneyland all the time. Every spot we filmed a video, our favorite rides, special moments. We do that. We give away promotional things. Last year at game days, we had special guest Keith Apicary come out. Did a reading of a script he wrote himself. It was the Keith Apicary movie. He invited people from the audience to act out the characters in his film. I believe at the end he did a musical performance.
He did.
Where he invited all the men in the room to come on, share their masculinity, rip their shirts off, and have a big group hug.
That might not have been a highlight of game days, but you
it
should
may
look
not
at
have been a highlight of game days. But you know
but
what?
It did happen.
It was a spectacle. I was in the other room at our booth, and I peeked my head out, and it's like, what the fuck is going on the stage right now? And that's the kind of experience that you have at game days. You never know what's going to happen.
Yep.
It's always awesome. Please, please come check it out. You're not going to regret it.
Yes. Anyway, and by the way, we're also next weekend we're going to be at Long Beach Comic Con. We will have a booth there. There's a Mega 64 booth at Long Beach Comic Con. We don't have a panel at the con or anything like that.
But if you're at the con, stop by our booth.
Yeah, if you want any of our stuff, we will have all our merchandise there, everything there at Long Beach Comic Con, and that's Saturday and Sunday, the 17th and 18th. At the Long Beach Convention Center. So stop by the booth and get some exclusive stuff. That exclusive poster that we had at PAX is going to be at that event. And also game days. So you got a chance to get it. And amongst other things.
The exclusive PAX poster.
Yeah.
Available at Long Beach Comic Con.
And get it.
And game days. All right. Let's open up some of this P.O. Box stuff. Hey, I want to say too to our friends at Funimation, our good friend Justin. He sent over some animes. Haven't had a chance to check these out yet, but... out of the pile, I picked out these two. World Break and Blood Blockade Battlefront. I'm not promising I'm going to watch these, but if I get bored, this is what's in my pile to pop in. So thank you, Justin. Thank you, Funimation, for sending that over.
All right, Wafa, what'd you get?
This is from good friend Angel.
Angel.
He says...
Angel O?
He saw my Frisco Rough Rider shirt with Roosevelt on it. I've worn that and stuff before.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a minor league. They're the Rough Riders, which is a minor league baseball team in Frisco, Texas. He says, since I work as a game day photographer for a minor league team called the Trenton Thunder in New Jersey, I decided to get you a Thunder shirt to add to your minor league baseball merch collection.
Well,
Angel,
if it's a medium...
why would he send you a shirt when you have never displayed a love for minor league baseball like Rocco clearly has?
I wear this Roosevelt shirt every day.
I've never talked about this before, but this is true. I fall asleep listening to minor league baseball every single night. Las Vegas 51s.
You just depressed me so
much. That's what I fall asleep to. Las Vegas 51.
Thunder.
Oh, that's so cool.
Thunder.
Is that a medium?
Double medium.
Ah.
You know how I fall asleep every night?
How?
On a pile of money surrounded by many beautiful naked women.
I don't do that.
Me too. You don't do
Rocco does that too? Yeah, I thought about listening to baseball, but the thing we do sounded better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fall asleep a lot easier after, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, anyways.
I know what you mean.
If anyone works for
can't whistle, but I would have whistled there.
The Las Vegas 51s, I am a medium. So And my hat size, small head, it's 7 1/8. Thank you.
Why did you mention small head?
Because it's a small, I have a small head. I have a small head.
I have a...
this kind of this reminds me of the Chargers.
Oh, no!
God. Oh, in the garbage it goes.
Okay, well, Angel,
what's
I would
next?
Have never done
what's
that.
Next?
This is... If Ooh. We're not funny enough, we do have some Laffy Taffy. All right, here.
That is for you, though. Rocco can't have that. Yeah, he got
I'll
the
trade
shirt.
You. I'll trade you.
Oh, good.
No, fuck you. Oh. Well, yeah, I wish I want the shirt more.
They got banana Laffy Taffy in
oh,
there.
Oh, we got some temporary tattoos. So, secret prices.
Let's open these up. I can go for some Laffy Taffy.
Yeah, I haven't had a Laffy Taffy.
140 Halloween tattoos.
I can go for a laugh. It's all right. Worth a dollar. It makes you laugh.
We got another box here.
Trent.
Okay, this is from Trent. Oh, my God.
Wonka, in memory of Willie, who just died.
Okay, Trent just sent a box over.
Yeah.
And I am so stoked right now.
I'm excited.
This is, I think, and I'm... Some of those. It doesn't say a name, but yeah. I think it's all for me.
Okay.
I couldn't be more excited. I have wanted a Tony Gwynn jersey so long. Thank you, Trent. Thank you
that?
So much. My favorite Padre.
Whoa!
I said, well, the reason I think this is mine is on a podcast, I think it was like 108 Whoa! Or something. I said Tony Gwynn was the best. And that is so cool. See. I'm going to wear that.
Is that rare?
Thank you so much. Oh, my God. There's more? Oh, my God. Trent,
what?
Thank you so much. Peavy. I'm a Peavy head.
Trent.
Peavy.
Trent, what is this?
Dude, Trent, you are killing it. Sean, I'll show you in a second. Oh my God! A jacket, Trent.
What is this?
What does it even say?
It's like
say?
Christmas.
San Diego Padres baseball.
Whoa,
Trent! You know I love track jackets like that. Thank you so much.
There's more.
Oh my God! Now these hats will probably here. Oh, those aren't gonna fit me. Sorry, Trent.
I'll take them.
Anyway, oh man!
There's another jersey.
Trent, these
How
jerseys
is this even possible?
Are amazing. I'll try these on later. I don't have time. But anyway, thank you. Trent, thank you so much. That was
Trent.
You're a class
Holy
act.
Holy shit.
You're a class act. Sean,
Look
those.
At this one.
Yeah,
oh, this. My God.
Okay.
Oh.
Those are for
right.
me.
Well, I expect to see Rocco wearing those from now
this
on.
Next
the
podcast,
best
I'll have them all on.
Day? Holy yeah. shit.
It sucks those hats didn't fit me. We'll
what
have to
he,
throw those
how
out.
How did this happen? Wow. Trent, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, the camouflage jersey. In case the Padres ever need to go
oh
invade
my,
Iraq.
Look at this.
They're fucking
look
baseball
at
bats.
That.
Man, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm putting
well,
it on.
Well, Sean, I'll let you check it out.
I'm going to put it on. Sorry, Rocco.
Yeah, let me know how it goes.
Do all baseball teams
stretch
have
it out for me.
Military fatigue jerseys, or is that just San
it
Diego?
It was just San Diego, and recently other teams have started doing it.
Are these baseball teams going to war?
This is taped to
Well,
hell.
The Padres are there to, you know, represent...
How come they don't wear, like,
military.
I don't know, scrubs to represent doctors?
This is so cool.
How come they don't stuff their bellies to represent pregnant moms?
I can't believe this.
Why just combat fatigues for the baseball players? And why only baseball players?
Dude.
It's an unexplained relationship that I just don't quite understand.
Is there a note here? How do you get all these?
No,
not that I just like anything with the military, because let me tell you, I watched a movie on Netflix this week called Undercover Saudi Arabia, where they sneak a bunch of cameras into Saudi Arabia and they film like public beheadings and all this fucked up shit. Proud to be an American. Check it out on Netflix. What?
There was a note in here.
All for up.
Is Mega 64 smoke weed Y or N? I need. No. So thank you, Trent. Thank you for the jersey.
Trent.
Is
That's
Mega
not
64?
Family appropriate.
Yeah. All right, Trent, you asshole.
Oh, Trent's truck just pulled up.
Oh, this is so
Goodbye.
Nice.
Okay.
I can't believe this.
This package here is from Dan Dussault, who is the
Whoa.
Artist who did that print.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of stuff from when he moved.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
Oh, is cool stuff in there?
Can't beat this. Gwynn, 19, never forget. Mr. Padre.
There's part of a... Dan, I appreciate it, but I already have the Super Zeo Megazord, so...
I didn't. Thanks, Dan.
Now Sean can have that.
Thank you.
I get the jersey, you get that. That's kind of fair. All right. Well, thank
what
you, everybody.
This is great.
Thank you, everybody, for all your stuff. And if you want to send anything to us, Mega 64 P.O. Box 713-090, Santee, California, 92072. We appreciate it. Thank you. For all the gifts and whatnot. And this truck can fuck off. That's priority one.
No. Chuck can fuck off. He's going to stop right here. It's like we're flipping on... Wait.
Well, let's just end it. Good night, everybody. No. Yo, welcome back. Special edition. We ended the podcast, but we wanted to add another part because we discovered some late breaking news. A package we forgot to open wasn't addressed to us. It was addressed to our good friend, Brian.
Was addressed directly to him.
Brian by name. Apushakra. We're not usually in the business of opening up other people's mail. I've never done that. Trust me on that one. But we noticed this was being sent from a, what is this, Sweet Gourmet?
Sweet Gourmet.
That sounds, shake the package. Sounds like there are little bits of tiny things in here.
Sounds like delectables.
From a place called Sweet Gourmet.
Yeah.
Could it be that somebody has sent candy for Brian? Strange. Nobody has ever done that before. In fact, people usually send candy to us, which is nice. We like to share. Oh, but that Brian fellow. It's just like time and time again, he comes and he opens up our candy and he eats it all when we're not there. He took Rocco's apple cider.
He did. He
right out of the refrigerator. Yeah, sealed apple cider. He opened it up and he drank a whole bottle of apple cider. I was saving grapevines. I was saving them.
Oh, my
He took
God.
His knife out. He ripped it wide open and feasted. Disarm Brian. Let us never forget. Well, you know what? We're not mad. Rocco and I are forgiving. We've let that go. We also like to get even. So today, we're getting even. Let's see what this is all about. Sorry, Brian! Oh.
What's this?
Oh, did somebody send you candy corn?
Well, you know, we'll keep this on the set, so next time he's here...
Fuck that! Fuck! Get the knife! Oh, yeah! Oh, it tastes so good, Brian! Oh, don't you love candy corn? Nice fall treat. When it's almost all winter time, get a little bit of candy corn, Brian! Oh, it tastes good, too. Anyways, that's all. Thanks for watching the podcast. Get yourself some candy corn. It's really good. Goodbye.